All the people mentioned in the previous Mishnayos who were said that they're not allowed to marry a woman that they helped free from her husband, they would be allowed to marry this woman if at the time that they helped this other woman, these people were already married and their wives later died. Also, in all the cases of the previous Mishnayos, if any of these women married someone else after being freed from her husband and they then got divorced or widowed, they may then marry any of these people who had helped them free them initially from this husband. All these women, Zok the Mishnah, are also mutter to marry the sons or the brothers of the men that helped to free them from their husband. Only chashash about them themselves, the men themselves, not about their relatives. In fact, our Mishnah seems to suggest that these men may only marry these women if the men were married at the time and then became widowers, but not if the men then divorced their wives. However, Braisa says that they may even marry the woman if they divorced them as well. And for the Gemara, the Braisa is discussing where the man and his wife were already fighting before this man helped the other woman. However, the Mishnah is discussing where there was no such fight, and that's why we're concerned that he's divorcing her only because he wants to marry this other woman. Another answer to the Gemara, in both cases, maybe there was no previous argument with the wife. However, the Braisa is discussing where it is she who began the fighting now, and the Mishnah is discussing where it was he who began the fighting. Mishnah says, "Kulon she nisu v'chul." In fact, the Mishnah seems to say that if the woman got divorced or widowed from a second marriage after having been divorced or widowed from the first husband, she may then marry the man who helped free her from the first marriage. This suggests that even if she was widowed from both marriages, she would be allowed to marry again. This Lechayah argues on Rebbe, who says that a woman who was widowed twice should not marry again because she has a chazaka that she causes her husband to die. But it says the Mishnah means that if she was widowed from the first or the second husband and divorced from the other, that's when she's allowed to marry again. But Enechanami, if it was twice that she was widowed, Enechanami, maybe according to Rebbe, she would not be allowed to marry again. So, but our Mishnah could even follow Rebbe. Mishnah says, "V'kulu mutaris livneim oy la'acheim." My wise is different from the Mishnah, which says that if a man was rumored to be mezana with a particular woman, he may not marry her mother, her daughter, or her sister. Mara says these women are often together, and we therefore have to be concerned that he will have easy access to the woman he was rumored with, who would then be ushered to him deraisa. However, these men are not often together, and we therefore don't have to be concerned that this woman will have easy access to the man that she was rumored to be with that started this whole thing initially. Second Tara Zak Mara, in our mission, the husband will be careful to make sure his wife is not mezana, because if she would be mezana, he would have to divorce her. In the other mission, the wife will not be as careful about stopping her husband, because a man doesn't become ushered to his wife if he's mezana with another woman. So we should permit for her to marry the man's father as well. Mara says the Mishnah means to say she's clearly allowed to marry the man's father, because this man would not dare to be mezana with the wife of his father. The Mishnah means to teach that she may even marry his son, his brother, with the chances even more likely that he may be mezana more than when she marries the father. Hadnalach Perakatad Ashes Achiv. Perek Abo Achin, Perek Shlishi. Zok the Mishnah Mesiata Deshmaya, if there were four brothers, two of whom were married to two sisters, and those brothers who were married to the sisters then died without children, the other brothers have to do Chalitza, not Yibum. If they went ahead and did Yibum, we force them to get divorced. But the Yadza says Beishami would allow them to remain married, Beis Hillel would force them to get divorced. Zok the Mishnah Vaita. If one of the sisters was ushered to one of the remaining brothers as an erva, this brother becomes mutter to do Yibum to the other sister, whereas the other brother remains ushered to both sisters. If one of the sisters was not an erva, Raisa was rather an Isser Mitzvah or an Isser Kedusha to one of the brothers, he may only do Chalitza and not Yibum. Zok the Mishnah Vayta. If one sister is ushered to one brother as an erva, the other sister is ushered to the other brother as an erva, each brother is mutter to do Yibum to the sister that's not an erva to him. This is the case in which they said, in which it was said that if a Yavama's sister, who is also a Yavama, is ushered as an erva, the one who is not an erva may do Yibum or Chalitza. In fact, the mission seems to be a clear proof that there's the concept of Zika, because if not, then Yibum should be permitted here, since the sisters are each falling for Yibum from a different brother, and therefore each surviving brother should do Yibum to one of the sisters. Marza, it may be that there's no Zika, and the reason we don't allow Yibum to be done, maybe we're concerned that after the first sister is taken in Yibum, the other brother will die, which will then negate the mitzvah for the remaining sister, because she's now a wife's sister, and no Yibum or Chalitza will be done from that brother, and if the second brother died, then he also has nothing to be done, and it's also to cause a negation of a mitzvah. If so, the Mishnah should give a case where there's only one surviving brother, which would show the same halacha. Why do you have to give an additional brother in this story? The Mishnah is saying that not only is Yibum also when there's one surviving brother, because in that case, by doing Yibum, he's absolutely certain to negate the mitzvah, rather, even if there are two surviving brothers, it would still be also to do Yibum, even though there's only a possibility that the second brother will die and then negate the mitzvah. In fact, if so, why don't we give the case where there are three surviving brothers? Mara says we would not be concerned for two additional brothers dying, and we would therefore allow Yibum in that case when there were three additional brothers. There are three sisters who are Yevamis who fall to Yibam to two surviving brothers. One brother has to give Chalitza to one of them. The other brother gives to another one. And the third sister would require Chalitza from both of the brothers. Rabbi said to him, by requiring Chalitza from both brothers, it must mean that you hold that there is a Zika. And since the Chalitza is not an ideal Chalitza, an ideal Chalitza is one that is given when there is a when it's given in lieu of a permissible Yibam. Over here, the Yibam is not possible. So it has to, only Chalitza, and therefore the Chalitza is not considered to be ideal. So that's why it has to be given by all the surviving brothers. If so, why do the first two sisters also not need chalitza from them both? The Gemara answers, the case is where one sister fell first to Yibam and received a full chalitza from one of them. Then a second sister fell to Yibam and the second brother gave her a full chalitza. When the third sister falls to Yibam, it's not a situation of permitted Yibam, and that's why she needs chalitza from both of them. And Rav, who holds that there's no Zika, was saying this according to the view that there is Zika. But Shmuel argues with Rav and says that one brother can give chalitza to all three of the sisters. In fact, we find that Shmuel says that chalitza must be given in an ideal way because we find that he says that if a Yavam gives chalitza to two Yavamas who are sisters, each being the wife of a different brother, the tsaris do not become part of chalitza. If so, how can he say that one brother can give chalitza to all three? Once the first brother gives the full chalitza, the first chalitza, his chalitza to another sister is less than ideal. Mar says what Shmuel means is that the chalitza to the third sister can be done by just one brother. They don't each have to give chalitza. But Shmuel said that one brother can give chalitza to all the sisters. So how can he say that it refers to only the middle one? But it says, since this brother will have done chalitza to the majority of the sisters, Shmuel refers to it as all the sisters. Another Teres Zaknamara, Shmuel says that an ideal chalitza is only necessary to pata the tsaris, but the pata the Yavam herself, even less than an ideal chalitza, is sufficient. And that's why it's good enough for this person alone to give her chalitza.